You know, I've found that it really is our attitude, not our aptitude, that determines our altitude. Let me say it again. It's our attitude, not our aptitude, that determines our altitude. And I believe as we come to the Word of God, the Bible would indicate that we come to it with a humility of heart, that we receive it with meekness, and that we allow the Lord to do all that He wants to do in us through the ministry of the Word of God, applied to our hearts and illumined by the Holy Spirit of God. I think it's important that we understand that the Word of God is the book of life. It is the Word of God to mankind that reveals the very heart of God. Without the Bible, this world would be in utter darkness and would be held in the bonds of chaos to a greater extent than we think it might be today. The answers to all the issues of life are found in the Word of God. And yet, there are many that purport to know the truth and to have read the truth, perhaps even taught the truth, and yet they choose not to live that truth, which reveals an attitude toward the truth. I believe that God calls us to treasure the Word of God in our hearts. He's calling us to be people of the book. And I wondered today, what would you say is your attitude toward the Word of God? And it's not what you think it is, by the way. How many of you remember when you were a young person and your parents would say something to you and you'd answer and they'd say, "Don't give me that attitude"? How many of you remember that? Tim, you heard that a lot, didn't you? You might still hear it a lot, I'm thinking. Don't give me that attitude. How many of you remember hearing something like that ever? Don't you give me that attitude, right? And then you know what you'd say? What attitude? Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You'd say, "I'm not giving you an attitude." You know why? In your own way of thinking, you were A-okay. Paul told the Corinthian believers, in your own mind, you're straightening yourself. In other words, he was saying, in your own mind, to your own thinking, you think you're all squared away. But he said, listen, in our hearts and minds, you're not straightened out. He said that clearly. I'm going to say this to you today, that what you probably think about where you are with the Lord is probably not at all where you are in reality. Most of us generally want to compare ourselves spiritually with someone who's not doing quite as well. And that's how we sort of mollify our conscience about the things of the Lord. And we think, well, after all, I'm here. There's a lot of people who aren't even here, right? And so what we do is we say, you know, I think I'm doing okay. And the reality is we may be saying, what attitude? That was exactly the attitude of the people of Judah. And if you read the book of Malachi, it's just a short four-chapter book. Do you know what? They were always talking back to God. You know, the Lord said, "You've robbed me." And they said, "Where did we rob you?" Do you know what I'm saying? He said, "I'm just." They said, "Where is the judgment of God?" Right? They just didn't understand that they had an insolent attitude toward the Lord. They felt justified by it because of their circumstances. And the truth of the matter is, do you know what? As young people, even right here, sometimes you have an attitude and you're thinking, what attitude? And you know, I'm going to say this. Grown-ups have it too. We're just a little more skillful in masking it at times, right? Now, you know the Bible says, and I'm going to move quickly, but I just want to say this by way of introduction. Paul wrote to Timothy before he died and went to heaven, and he said, "Preach the word, the instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke." By the way, most people don't like any of that. They would rather just take an X-Acto knife to those words and cut those right out of the Word of God. But he said, "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So Timothy was being challenged by the Apostle Paul to, when people had a bad attitude towards the preaching of the truth, just preach it anyway. When people didn't want to hear it and they wanted the preacher du jour on YouTube that agreed with them and their opinions, he said, just preach the truth anyway. When the preacher on the radio was waxing eloquent and your preacher at the church was not comparing favorably, the challenge is just preach the truth anyway. Amen? And the reality is, I believe that day has come when people really don't want sound doctrine. They would rather have something that gives them the warm fuzzies and brings a little tear to their eyes and makes them feel better about humanity. And you know what? Listen, my job is not to make you feel better about humanity, because the Bible doesn't make me feel better about humanity. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man into his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Listen, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, listen, anything you want to discover about humanity in God's Word says it's bad. It's bad. And let me say this to you, that the Bible is the pure and perfect Word of God. Now, what we're doing here today is what the Bible has called us to do. The Bible calls the church the pillar and the ground of the truth. Okay? Pastors are to be preachers of the truth. The word preacher is in the Greek the word keruk, which means a herald. So I'm to be a herald of the truth. As a clarion, to clearly and loudly communicate the truth of thus saith the Lord, whether people like it or not. I've discovered sometimes they don't like it. I've discovered even some people that stick around don't like it. Have you? Yeah. And what I'm discovering is that we have a generation of people that will look for every reason not to hear it. They're the ones that are always wanting to be in the nursery every service, or wanting to patrol the alley every service, or be the bouncer in junior church every service. You know, there are enough people here that have been around as long as I have to know that we've seen people who jumped head first into service to the exclusion of the ministry of the Word, and most of them are not here anymore. In fact, of those, most of them are not in any church anymore. And some of them are people that sang in the choir and sat on the platform, that led out in prayers, that did Bible studies, that worked in official posts and positions of leadership, and are not even in church anymore. And the things that they preached and taught against, they're now involving themselves in. You know why? Because they had a bad attitude towards the Word of God. When it set them at variance with their kids and they decided, I'd rather be my kid's friend than parent, they didn't want to tell them what the Bible said anymore. And so that made the preacher the enemy, because he was saying what the Bible said. And either they had to support their preacher or leave the church, because they realized that if they're going to be their kid's friend and not their parent, they had to take a side. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again in these 16 years here at Freeway. I want you to notice something about the Word of God here in verse number 9. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I want you to notice that in the Scripture we see a cleanser. We see a cleanser. And that's what the Bible says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, what does a cleanser do? Yeah, it cleans stuff up, right? And listen, when I was a kid, I had pimples all over my face. When I was 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, I'd wash with every type of soap, Clearasil. I was a poster child for Clearasil, you know. If they had Proactive back then, I'd be the poster boy for Proactive, you know. I got called every name in the book, you know. And so I had to learn how to fight a little bit, stand my ground, and things like that. But I tried every cleanser that there was to wash away the impurities. Amen. Now, listen. How many of you remember when you went to junior high school and you had your first day of PE and the coach told you, you got to take a shower? All right, some of you are homeschooled and you still haven't taken a shower, and you wonder why nobody wants to sit by you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But listen, what do they want you? They want you to clean up. Why? Because if you don't, guess what happens? You stink. You know, the same is true with people that neglect God's Word. And you know what? I found this. People that reek oftentimes don't know they do because they've gotten so used to the stink. I've met people that say, I have dogs and my house doesn't smell like dogs. And you go visit their house and you think, it really does. It smells like dogs. But they've been smelling dog smell so much that they don't even think that it's there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, people think, I have cats, but you can't smell them in my house. Want to bet? I can smell it on you. I've got a really sensitive olfactory here going on. You know what I'm saying? But the truth is, what God wants us to do is He wants us to take His Word and use it to take a bath with. You know what? Sometime on Wednesday night, after you've been working out there in the world, and you've worked with guys that can't even say one sentence without using a four-letter curse word in it. How many of you know people like that? How many work around people like that? And it's like, man, you get a steady diet of the F word and some words you never heard before, you know what I'm saying? But you know they're bad, you know, you don't want to be repeating around your mother, or, you know, you're going to have to be taking a bite out of a bar of Dial soap sometime, amen? And how many of you have been there, done that? You know what I'm talking about? I can remember those nasty orange Dial soap bars, and I can remember, you know, if I said something as innocuous as stupid, do you know what I'm saying? I was going to be taking a bite out of one of those orange or yellow bars of Dial soap and chewing it up, you know, till bubbles were coming out my nose, you know, and then you get it in your teeth, you know, and you can't seem to get it out. You're like blowing bubbles in your sleep, you know, if you snore, you know. But what I'm saying is, look, you work around people like that, and sometimes you just get to feeling filthy because of everything that the world is putting on you. And you know what you need to do? You need to come to church on a Wednesday night and just shower off. Just say, I want to take a bath in the Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse number 3, in the words written in red, Jesus said, now are ye clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. I believe it's important sometime for us to wash it off. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If you don't wash it off routinely, the time is going to come where you're so used to it, it's not going to stink to you anymore. It won't bother you anymore. I've had sometimes people that come to church and it's obvious that they can't tell how they smell anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? They're just so used to smelling it all the time, they think that it's fine. Do you know what I'm saying? And spiritually, you can get so used to the sin that it doesn't offend you anymore. And we can so grieve our conscience and the Holy Spirit that it doesn't bother us anymore. But wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Just go ahead and put them up there, both points. The Word of God is that which cleanses us, and the Word of God has to be applied, or guess what? It doesn't do any good. How many of you know that? How many of you know you can have running water, but if you don't take a shower or a bath in it sometimes, it doesn't do you any good? Do you know what I'm saying? And every once in a while, I'll meet somebody and they want to give me a big hug, and I'll think, we need to take up a benevolent offering for them because obviously they have no running water at their house. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, you work with young people, you know, and you think, whoo, man. And I can remember talking to Brother Mickey one day, and he grew up in Sunny Slope in a very poor family. And he said, you know, Pastor, there are a lot of times I remember taking a shower with my clothes on because it was the only way that I could get them clean. You know, there are a lot of kids in our church that are like that. But here's what I want to say. There's a lot of folks that have running water, but they don't use it. It's no good to you. You know why? We don't think we need it anymore. We don't smell the stink anymore. We become so used to it, we think we're okay. Folks, I want to say something. If you think that you're okay, ask your wife if she thinks you are. Ask your kids if they detect anything about your Christian life that maybe needs to be dialed up. What I'm saying is, a lot of times what we think of ourselves is not really the attitude that we're expressing. Just like the people of Judah, who every time the Lord pointed something out to them, they answered back with a bad attitude. Secondly, in the Scripture, we see a compass, not only a cleanser, but we notice a compass. By the way, I didn't download this off the internet. I didn't get it from YouTube. I got it from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. So just letting you know, if you want to find out where this one come from, you know, it came from the Holy Spirit. And the Bible. It's a good place to get messages, isn't it? And but look, in the Scripture, we see a compass. Verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." So, in other words, the psalmist David is writing, listen, I don't want to get off the path that you're leading me on. And how many of you have ever found that sometimes GPS isn't exactly accurate? Now, it is pretty accurate, but you know, I can remember this past summer when we were camping up in the Eager Springerville area with the men's camp. And we were depending on GPS to get us to the campground. And we wound up on a ski slope about 13 miles from camp. You know, and the guy that came racing, down to pull out his gun and move us off private property, you know, was none too happy about it. And he was barking at us about all these tourists following the GPS. You need to know better than to just follow the GPS. Can I tell you something? If you follow, thus saith the Lord, you will always find true north, and you will always be led in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And when we seek Him with our whole heart, His word will be our God. And when we are centered in God, we will not stray from the path that He is leading us on. And of course, that most beloved psalm in Psalm 23, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You know, the Lord, He'll lead you along. He'll give you light on the pathway. He'll tell you which way to go. But the problem is, most of us think we already know how, fellas. How many of you like me? You're glad that you have GPS when you're alone in the car. But you know when your wife is in the car, you know how to get there. Right? You know. You don't need to stop and ask for directions, right? My wife and I got out of town for a day and a half recently, and we were trying to find our way to a certain place, and Linda kept saying, "Well, that guy probably works here. He could tell us where to go." Like, no, I know how to get, you know. 5 minutes later, she said, "Hey, there's that guy again. Maybe you should ask him, you know." Yeah, I think it's a man thing. You know, we just think we know how. And sometimes that's our attitude towards the Word of God, which really is a roadmap for your life. And God set it out there in front of you. It's a compass for you to find true north, to know which way you should go. But we've got a better idea. And you know what? When we persist in that, it must project up to heaven. You know, we think we know better than God. And God's like, "Don't give me that attitude." And you're like, "What?" Right? How many know what I'm talking about? "I'm not giving you an attitude." You know, He's like, "I'm trying to lead you, but you won't look at the directions that I gave you." Amen? You know, listen, folks. If we would just get off of Facebook and get our face in the book, what a profound difference that would make in our lives. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. If you spend as much time reading God's Word as you do social media, or watching TV, or on the internet, I wonder what that would do to your Christian life. I'm not saying do it an hour. Listen, if you did it as much as you're on the internet, you'd do it way more than an hour every day. And guess what? You'd read through the Bible every 2 months. You know how long it takes to read the Bible if you're a slow reader? You know, if you're a slow reader and you start reading, if you're just an average and a slow reader, you know how long it takes to read the Bible from cover to cover? 72 hours. So, look, you take, you know, several weeks. If you're an average reader, you can read the Bible through from cover to cover. In the Scripture, we see a compass. Thirdly, notice in verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How many of you like me and you memorized that verse when you were a kid? Right? How many of you memorized that as a kid and you knew better and didn't do better? My hands up, two hands up. We could have a charismatic service here today, right? Can I get a witness up in here? You know, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So it was hid up in here, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't produced out in here, you know what I'm saying? It was hid up in here, but it wasn't lived out down in here. And what I'm saying to you today is this, that the Word of God, in the Scripture, we see a caution, thirdly, a caution. You see, what is the Lord doing? He's giving us His Word as a precautionary measure so we not involve ourselves in the things that are displeasing unto the Lord. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" By the way, it says young man, and I learned that age is just a number. Right? Are you as young as you feel? Well, in that case, I'm 103 this morning. Right? You know, on Wednesday night, I was talking about that a little bit. You know, someone said, don't be discouraged, Pastor, if we have a down attendance. It's just a number. I'm thinking, well, don't worry about your heart rate. It's just a number. Don't worry about your blood sugar. It's just a number, right? Don't worry about your blood pressure. It's just a number. Don't worry about that. I know the church is the body of Christ, so should I worry about our numbers? Well, if I don't, I'm going to ask you, who's going to do it? You know, that's another subject altogether. But what I'm saying to you is this, that the Word hid in this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," indicates that the Word is going to be treasured within us. And when we have the right attitude toward the Word, it will serve as a precaution against sin. Although, that's not something I'd ought to be doing. You know, every once in a while I have people call me and say, "Is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do that?" Looking for me to give them some indulgence or, you know, anoint them. And, you know, I like Domino's, you like Domino's, we all like Domino's. You know what I'm saying? And now go ahead and do it, you know. And by the way, slip me a 20 in indulgence and you can go do whatever you want to and it'll be okay, you know. But the reality, did I start something, Pam? I think I did probably. Anyway, he needs very little encouragement. I've just but listen. But people are like, "Should I do this?" Well, you know what? You don't have to ask me. You can ask the Lord, because it's all answered right here in the Word of God. I have a message. I try to preach it about once every 5 years. I feel like I need to preach it about every 5 weeks. And it's how to know the will of God in every situation 100% of the time. Because you know what? The Word of God is not ambiguous about anything. You can come to me about any situation of life, and I can take you right to a principle or precept in the Word of God that speaks to that situation, that reveals whether or not you ought to do it. Anything. I'm telling you, I don't care what it is. I can show it to you. Now, I may not be able to, you know, sit right here and say, you know, tap into the source of all wisdom and knowledge. No. But I can say, look, let's tap into the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Do you know what I'm saying? If I'm not giving you thus saith the Lord, then say, you know what? That's your opinion, right? And you know what they say about opinions, don't they? I'm not going to say it. You can say it. I'm not going to say it because I like sleeping in the bed. I'm just saying. So in the Scripture, we see a cleanser. And secondly, in the Scripture, we see a compass. Amen? How many of you need some direction every once in a while? Yes. And in the Scripture, we see a caution. How many of you wish you would have listened to what the Bible said and used it as a precaution in your life? How many of you made some bad decisions when you didn't? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And how many of you are reaping the bad consequences of those foolish choices? You know what I'm saying? How many of you can lift a hand on that one? And the rest of you are all a bunch of stinking liars. Pompous, pious gas bags you are. Right? Bunch of hypocrites in this church. I'm leaving. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, we know that. Now, I want you to notice verse number 12. It says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." Would you notice, fourthly, in the Scripture, we see commandments. There are commandments here. What does the word statute mean? It means a law or a command. That's what it means. Okay, and so what does the Bible say? "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." The Lord is worthy of blessing and honor as our teacher. We need to honor Him, right? Recently Brother Daniel met with our teenagers, and I sat down with Brother Daniel, and it wasn't Brother Daniel. Some of you are mad at Brother Daniel because he asked you not to wear earphones in church, or even have them around your neck during the service. He asked you to do that. And you're mad at him. But you know what? He's doing what I asked him to do. You know why? Because it reveals an attitude toward God's Word that says, I want to hold on to what I want to hold on to. I want to reserve the right to plug those things in if I don't like what that preacher's saying. And that reveals an attitude toward the Word of God. I want to ask you a question. Regardless of how you think about the president, whether you like him or you don't like him, if President Trump came to greet our church today, how many of you would sit on the front row with ear pods? Would you put them in, plug them in, and like, talk to the hand, man? Would you do that? No, whether you disagree with his policies or you agree with his policies, as a sign of... Well, guess what? You can say, well, it's just a preacher up there today. But do you know what the preacher's given you? God's Word. I'm His ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. I'm an ambassador. So, you know what? When I have my headphones around my neck, by the way, it may surprise you to know this. You know, I'm sure I've had earphones from time to time, but I lived like 55 years of my life and happy years of my life with never a set of headphones ever. Do you know what I'm saying? I got some really cool ones for Christmas, and I use them about, every 5 minutes a week. Do you understand what I'm saying? The point is, look, you know why? I want my ears to be open so I can hear what my wife has to say. She wants me to hear what she has to say. Fellas, can I get a witness here? Sometimes we have selective hearing loss, right? I'm like, honey, wait a minute. I think I need new batteries. I don't even have a hearing aid. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoops, the earpods were in. I'm sorry. But it reveals an attitude, you know. And here what we discover about the Word of God is that He is the one that's worthy of blessing and honor. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and wisdom and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And that's the one that's talking to us. And we're like, and He says, don't give me that attitude. And we're like, what? And we think, well, you know, I just would like you to make some suggestions to me and tell me what a great person I am. And the Lord's saying, wait a minute, I got some statutes here, right? You're like, hey, do a timeout. That sounds too much like commandments to me, and I'm not under the law anymore. And I know that. But does that mean God no longer has a will for your life because you're not under the law? Does that mean God has no more authority in your life because I'm no longer under the law but under grace? Does that mean that you have free reign to go out and do whatever you feel like because you're no longer under the law but under grace? No, there's still some statutes in the Word of God. Amen? How many of you know that? Folks, in the Scripture we see the commandments. He teaches us from His Word how He desires for us to live. And if we don't look at it and live it, how are we going to live? A very narcissistic life that's centered in me because I'm calling all the shots for me. You think about it. Notice with me quickly, number 5. In the scripture, we see communication. Verse number 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Whatever God said, you know what He wants us to do? He wants to communicate that. He wants us to give that. To receive it, yes, but then to give that. Notice this. We're not to be reservoirs, but channels of God's truth. I smiled today. I was in the foundations class, and Pastor Pack was teaching there, and he sang a little section of that song, Channels Only, Blessed Master. And I thought, you know, that's something I put in my message, but it reaffirms what God had put in my heart, that God doesn't just want us to be a reservoir collecting truth. God wants us to be a conduit through which truth can flow, a channel of His blessing to the world. Do you know what? I know people that have a PhD from the University of YouTube, but they never tell anybody about it unless they send it in a chain email. They got a neighbor next door, but they don't have a computer, so they can go to hell. Because I have a computer ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, listen. Sometime we need to turn the cockeyed thing off and get out of the recliner and put some clothes on and take a bath, not in that order, and get out and communicate the truth of God's Word. That's not what I said. That's what it said right there. Are you with me? You can go ahead and say amen. That'd be okay. So you're like, whoa, say amen right out loud in church? Whew. That's a step too far, man. Someone will think I'm a fanatic. I'd like to sit next to you at the Super Bowl, you know, as you sit there with your hands folded. And, you know, didn't it tickle you when you found out that they wouldn't be serving Chick-fil-A at the Super Bowl? And the report came out this week that they're the second leading fast food chain in America. And every leftist in the country has tried to boycott and shut them down. And all God's done is honor them and bless them and make their business profitable. Didn't that tickle you? Boy, it did me. So, you know what? You can buy a Bud Light in Atlanta at the Super Bowl, but you can't get a Chick-fil-A on that day. Right? But, you know, you'll be allowed to wear your ear pods there. I'm sure everybody will have them in. Anyhow, where are we at? We're in the Bible, right? In the Scripture, we see a cleanser. I'm almost done. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah, some of you. That, look, I need to preach a little extra for the people that have a bad attitude to the Word of God right now. Amen? Look, in the Scripture we see a cleanser. We see a compass. It guides us. We see a caution. So we don't get into jams that mess our life up. Because God loves you too much to see you messed up in all that nonsense. And fourthly, in the Scripture we see commandments. In other words, God has a will and a purpose for your life. And we don't like that because we would rather be the one calling the shots. It would be better if they didn't say statute, if it just said another S word. I like suggestion. Right? How many of you are with me on that? Listen, I was thinking about this in my safe space while I was coloring recently. Right? Yes. And I made a model of a dove with some Play-Doh. Okay, and I was thinking, statute seems too harsh a word. I like suggestion. Like, come on, dude. That's right. Be a man, right? How many of you are in the military, right? In the military. How many of you ever had a drill instructor when you were in boot camp come in and say, folks, I think it'd be a nice idea if we got up and had a good, healthy breakfast together. Right? You know? My uncle's here today, has a son that's a Navy SEAL. And you know what? I don't think anybody ever said to him, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to jump in that pool of water and stay down till you pass out. Well, how about that? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, you maggots, move it. You know, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, where's the safe space? Who stole my coloring book? Right? I want the forest green one. You understand? Because I'm going green now. I need four shades of green. Listen, we don't want people, especially God, at times confusing our life by saying, this is what I want you to do. But you know what David said? Listen, he said here, with my blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And notice number 6 quickly. In the scripture we see a choice. A choice. Now I like that word. The sermon's not all negative today. Praise the Lord. Right? Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, you say, where's the choice in this? He chose to delight himself in the Word of God more than in the things of this life. He chose to delight himself in the Word of God more than in the things of this life. You know, let me say this to you. Yesterday, during the visitation meeting, I was giving a short message. Some of you don't think that's possible, but you know, have faith in God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. But I was giving a short message yesterday, and I was in Luke chapter 14 about where Jesus was teaching on discipleship, and he talked about counting the cost. And someone that builds a tower has to first count the cost, and someone that goes to war has to first count the cost, and there's a price in following Jesus that would be paid by anyone that would be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And most of us, we want all the benefits without the price, right? We want the retirement plan without the labor from here to there. And the truth is that God calls us to live a life, doesn't He? And it's a life that He lets us choose. Because God is an absolute gentleman. He will never impose His will on anyone. He gives you a choice. And you know what He said? Listen, my choice is to rejoice in the way of the Lord more than in all the riches. And by the way, He was the king. So He knew something about riches, you know. Some of you are like, man, I wish I could, you know, I'm missing out on all the good things in life because I, you know, trusted Christ. Do you know what? You can't miss something you've never had. Do you know what I'm saying? But what I want to tell you is this. As we were leaving to go out on visitation yesterday, we caught up with Brother Joe in the courtyard. And he said, you know, there was a price that I had to pay, and oftentimes it was double time that I could have earned on Sunday. He said, every Sunday I could have made double time, and I never worked Sunday. Because I made a commitment that the Word of God was more important to me than the riches of this life. You know what I found that will reveal the attitude of many people? A 25-cent shift premium. A 25-cent shift premium. In the Scriptures, we see a choice. Number 7, in the Scripture, we see consciousness. Look at this in verse 15. And we're almost done. Aren't you glad? See, I don't know what to say now, Pastor. Whether to express glee or sorrow. What would be the right thing to say? I don't want to say what? You know what I'm saying? I don't have an attitude. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. It kind of reveals an attitude, but what he said is this. I will meditate in thy precepts. What does it mean to meditate? To think on these things. So, look, in the Scripture we see a consciousness. He sought to fill his mind with the truth of the Word of God. Very few people say, I want to have my headphones in because I'm playing the Bible 24/7, dude. Right? Very few like that. I know a few, but not many. Because you know why? They want to fill their mind with the conscious thoughts of the Word of God. They want to purify and cleanse their mind with the truth of the Word of God and make it a part of their conscious thought life. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something. As a man thinketh, the Bible says, so, you know what? You're going to do what you ponder doing. It's going to come out in your life. You know, the Bible gives that progression so clearly in James chapter number 1 that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Why does it happen like that? We look, then we think, we ponder it. It's a part of our conscious thought processes until finally we come to a place that we act out upon those things that have filled our conscious thoughts. And what David was saying was this: I want the Word of God to fill my conscious thought life all the day through. That's what he was communicating. How can that happen? Listen, it can happen by me beginning the day committing to find some truth in the Word of God. It doesn't mean you got to read 14 chapters. It doesn't mean you got to read the Bible through in 72 hours. It doesn't mean anything like that. It might mean that you pick up the Call to Glory off the counter and you dig into the truth that's revealed in the Scripture that's provided and say, Lord, bring this to my mind all the day long. Think about it. Let it become a part of your conscious thought life. I'm not trying to set these unrealistic, unattainable standards for your Christianity by saying you got to read so many hours and do this and that. No, it's different for everybody. There are some young mothers or single moms with a bunch of kids that right now, if you could take 30 minutes in the Word of God while the kids are at a nap, that'd be awesome for you. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you thinking, man, that's a really high goal for me right now because I'm super busy. Right? But what I'm saying to you is that, you see, his mind held the truth in great esteem and reverence to the fulfilling of it. Interesting, look at it. I'll meditate in thy precepts and have respect. What did that say? And have respect. What did it say? Respect, right? Listen, how many of you have ever spent any time in the hood? In the hood, how many of you know what the hood is? Right? That's where your crib is. Right? And look, you never heard Jackie Chan? What's the matter with you? But anyhow, I know what the hood is because I worked in there for about 19 years in Long Beach, California. In fact, I got some rappers on my phone. I think I showed you a picture of one of them. It has a big investment in our state, in 420. Do you know what I'm saying? And I've lived in the hood, and do you know, I've seen more fights, Brother Mickey, take place on playgrounds because someone dissed somebody else. Don't be dissing me like that, right? And it goes something like this: man, you don't even know me, right? You don't even know me. You don't say that to me. And then it's on like Donkey Kong. Somebody is going to get a can of Muay Thai opened up on them. You know what I'm saying? Can I get away? You know, some of you have been there. I used to play ball with people that carried a box cutter in their sock just in case it was ever on and they needed some help. Amen? You know, but look, sometimes we come to the house of the Lord and we're all up into our social media accounts and we're there looking at our Twitter feeds and we're checking the ball game scores during church. And you know what? God's like, hey, don't give me that attitude. And you're like, what? I can't hear you. I got my earpods in. Hey, he's saying, hey, don't give me. You're like, what? You know, and he's saying, you're disrespecting me, man. You don't know me. And you know, you're like, hey, don't worry about it. I've got stuff to do. And you say, well, you know, you see, it's not really like that. Really, what is it like then? Explain it to me. Here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all that is, the Sustainer of the universe, The one that died for you, and he's trying to talk to you, and all of a sudden, ain't nobody got time for that. And he's like, man, you're disrespecting me. And you're like, what? What disrespect? Folks, in the scripture we see consciousness. We need to fill our minds with conscious thought of the truth of the Word of God to the fulfilling of it out of respect for its author. Lastly, in the scripture we see a commitment. A commitment. Look at verse number 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Two times we hear these things. I will, I will. Do you know what he's doing? He's committing himself to something. Right? Now, I might stand up here one day and say, folks, we have someone in our church that needs to have a surgery. They can't afford to have the surgery. If they come up with, you know, $2,000, they can have this surgery. We've done that many times, helping people with medical bills, right? And I'll say, you know, folks, I feel led of the Lord for us to try to help this person. Doesn't help me, doesn't feather my nest, doesn't give me 1 cent, okay? We're going to help somebody else. And I'll say, I'll give the first $100. Who'll give $100? And you know what? People will be like, I will. I will. What are they doing? They're making a commitment. Making a commitment. I will. Making a commitment. You know what? You know what David said? He said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I'm going to be excited about delighting myself in the Word of God, he's saying. And I will not forget thy words. He made a commitment. I will indicated that he was committed to loving and living the Word of God. Not just listening, but living. David was committed to holding fast the truth and never letting it pass from his mind. The Word of God, my friends, is essential for your life and mine. And yet, there are many that think I'm all squared away. But do you know what? We probably aren't. Sometimes we're almost contemptuous to the preaching of the Word of God. We say it's not the Word of God I have a problem with, it's how long we have to endure it, which also speaks to the attitude. We can sit through an 18-inning baseball game and think it's the greatest thing ever. When our team is down and they tie it at the last second, it goes into overtime, we're overjoyed. Just don't keep me past noon. Too late. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Well, because I'm hungry. Great. Get a Snicker. Just don't eat it in church. You say, but I'm hangry. You learn that on TV. Do you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying, folks, is this. God wants us to do an attitude check today. On your attitude towards the Word of God and the declaration of the Word of God. We sit in the cesspool all week. We listen to the four-letter words and the blasphemy every day, and we can't wait to get there. We'll commit hours in commuting time, and we'll brown-nose, foul-mouth blasphemers. But God forbid the preacher should go 10 minutes over because I have a life. And I'm all fine. I'm good. What? Do you understand? That's what Judas said. Right? The Lord said, you've spoken against me. They said, when have we spoken against you? No, we haven't. The Lord's like, don't be giving me that attitude. They're like, what? Folks, all I'm saying is, God is calling us to consider today, what is your attitude concerning this book? Because whatever your attitude is towards this book is your attitude towards its author. Let me say that again. Whatever is your attitude toward this book is your attitude toward its author? You understand? And folks, let me say this to you. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven, let me say this to you. This is the most important book that you will ever read, because it tells you how you can be sure of heaven.